for Monday, July 19th. It's the early word from the WNYC newsroom. Hello, I'm Lance Lucky with a look at this morning's top news, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC news team. Coming up, we'll meet the official historian of Queens. Yes, there is one. And WNYC's Kathleen Horan spent time with him. We'll start with this morning's top headlines just ahead.
Hi, podcast listeners. The Early Word is a free service of WNYC. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org. The Early Word is filed in the wee hours of the morning and news moves fast. For the latest on these stories and more, go to the news page at WNYC.org.
With the containment cap over BP's blown-out well in the Gulf of Mexico holding steady, the company wants to leave it in place until a relief well is completed that would seal it for good. But the government's point man on the crisis, retired Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen, says it's important that the next steps in the process be driven by the science. Scientists have been studying whether the experimental cap could be causing oil to leak into the bedrock. If Admiral Allen decides the oil needs to be brought up to ships, tens of thousands more barrels of oil would have to be released into the Gulf while the new connections are made. Meanwhile, New York Senator Chuck Schumer cited the Foreign Corrupt Services Act in calling for a criminal probe of BP to find out whether the oil giant worked to secure the release of Lockerbie bomber Abdelbaset al-Megrahi in exchange for access to Libyan oil fields. Last week, Schumer was one of four senators to ask the State Department to look into the possible quid pro quo deal. A spokeswoman said the Justice Department had no comment. Across the pond, Boeing's long-delayed 787 Dreamliner touches down on British soil at the Farnborough International Air Show, the industry's premier event. New orders for commercial aircraft are likely to be restrained and restricted to buyers from strong emerging markets in the Middle East and Asia. Concerns remain about the slow global economic recovery and sharp cuts to national defense budgets. The debate could intensify this week over the environmental impact of the Indian Point nuclear power station north of the city. It's a major supplier of electricity, but studies have shown the plant kills billions of fish every year in its reactor cooling system, which uses Hudson River water. State regulators want a cooling tower built on site. But Indian Point's owner, the Entergy Corporation, has been running ads claiming the tower could block river views and would cost about $1 billion. Philip Musigas of the local environmental group Riverkeeper disagrees.
This is a company that makes very large profits. They could easily afford to build the tower. So we think they're using the court of public opinion to exaggerate the facts.
Residents and concerned citizens can weigh in with their opinions Tuesday evening in Cortland Manor. And finally, the latest heat wave enters its fourth day today, with temperatures expected to reach the low 90s. One youngster decided the best way to beat the heat Sunday was to jump into the fountain at Washington Square Park.
It's cold to other people, but it's warm to me and it feels like really nice.
That's 8-year-old Madison Bailey. But for seniors and others less inclined to frolic in fountains, the city will once again have dozens of cooling centers open in all five boroughs today. You can call 311 to find the one nearest you. Taking a look at today's calendar, the National Association of Home Builders releases its monthly numbers. New housing starts are expected to remain weak. In the nation's capital, a two-day meeting on clean energy technologies kicks off. The first ever clean energy ministerial will bring stakeholders together from more than 20 countries to collaborate on policies and programs aimed at accelerating the world's transition away from fossil fuels. Here in New York, the city's Deputy Commissioner for Sustainability, Carter Strickland Jr., and local officials gather in Brooklyn to mark the start of a 2-year renovation project that will shut down the century-old Gowanus Canal Flushing Tunnel. A temporary oxygenation system will be started up, much to the relief of Brooklynites who for years have had to endure the foul odors that waft from the canal. And President Obama welcomes the WNBA champion Phoenix Mercury to the White House to honor their 2009 championship season. Religious institutions in the city and other nonprofits are getting $5.8 million from the federal government to beef up security. WNYC's Cindy Rodriguez reports.
The money is a 40% increase over last year and about a third of what's been awarded nationally. In all, 80 institutions are getting the grants. 25 of those are synagogues. The Jewish Community Relations Council advises institutions on how to be more secure. David Pollack is the group's director of government relations.
We urge people to, for example, make sure that their doors can resist a determined intruder for 10 minutes because it'll be a few minutes before the police get on the scene.
Pollack says security cameras are also important. Elected officials point to the failed attempt to blow up a synagogue and Jewish center in the Riverdale area of the Bronx last year as proof that religious institutions are under threat. The defendants in that case have claimed they were entrapped by a federal informant. For WNYC, I'm Cindy Rodriguez.
They give lectures, tours, and help New Yorkers learn about their neighborhoods. Their positions are mandated by state law, but they don't make a penny from it. They're the five city historians, one for each borough, and WNYC's Kathleen Horan will be introducing them to you this summer. Queens borough historian Jack Eichenbaum is the new kid on the block, getting his post just last month. Kathleen met him in his Flushing apartment where he's lived for decades.
Let's take a look around. These are all photos taken from the roof of this building. Here's the skyline. These are a couple of nice sunsets.
Jack Eichenbaum looks tan and fit in his t-shirt, royal blue track shorts, and running shoes. He's lived nearly all of his 67 years in Queens, a place he believes is still undervalued by the rest of the city. The people who act like Manhattan is the center of the known universe don't even get him started.
I found too many people who were interesting people who would never come here. Why would I ever want to go there, to their crowded apartments and their overpriced restaurants and their dirty air?
He isn't always this feisty, but he's a man on a mission. That's why Queensborough President Helen Marshall selected Eichenbaum, a retired city assessor with a PhD in geography, over the other candidates. His predecessor held the position for 11 years. She says Eichenbaum's passion for all things Queens is one of the qualities that makes him the right man for the job. He says the thing that most easily dazzles people about Queens is the rich diversity layered across the different neighborhoods.
I mean, people still wearing some version of clothing that looks different, smells that are different, music is blaring out of the shops, and, you know, it's all right out there.
He says, of course, Queens hasn't always been this diverse. One of the defining moments of the borough was the changing of the immigration laws beginning in the late 60s. The other was when the Queensboro Bridge and the 7 and N trains opened, transforming the mostly rural area into an urban spot in the early part of the 20th century. Although for some, the neighborhoods are still more relevant than the borough.
When I was growing up, we lived in Bayside. We never said we live in Queens. The fact that people live in Queens is a relatively late 20th century idea. Most people lived and grew up from my era, in neighborhoods of Queens. And you still write, Queens addresses still say Bayside, New York, Jamaica, New York, Ozone Park, New York.
Guiding people through those neighborhoods is something he's been doing since the 80s, and he'll continue to push an educational agenda via his walking tours. One thing that often surprises visitors about Flushing is how green it is. He's even on a first-name basis with a few of the epic trees that line Bound Street.
I call this one Big Mama. This is my own personal name.
He's leaning against a 19th-century oak tree planted by the nurserymen of Flushing. There happens to be a lot of historical greenery here.
This is Weeping Beech Park, is named for a weeping beech tree that was the first of a European, a later nurseryman, Samuel Bound Parsons.
His tour is peppered with offbeat facts and trivia. Scrabble, for example, was invented in Jackson Heights by a man named Alfred Butts.
He invented the game and his wife tested it and they refined it, I think, in the 30s and 40s.
Eichenbaum happens to be a champion Scrabble player himself and has trophies from tournaments he's competed in from Boston to the Dead Sea. He fondly reminisces about one of his most memorable moves when he spelled out the word syzygy, which employs three Y's and a Z. What does the word mean?
It has something to do with eclipses or some kind of astronomical movements between bodies when certain alignments, I don't know exactly. Yeah.
What he does know is that he's the guy to school New Yorkers about a borough they still know too little about. That means you, Manhattan. For WNYC, I'm Kathleen Horan.
And all this week, Queens historian Jack Eichenbaum will be answering your burning questions about the borough. To post yours, see pictures, and hear audio about how the borough has changed, visit our website at WNYC.org. And there's just enough time for today's Gig Alert.
Ihr leidt mir auf dem Finna.
includes Icelandic singer-songwriter Olaf Arnalds, singing the title track of her upcoming album, In Under Skinny, which means under the skin. She'll perform tonight at Rockwood Music Hall on the Lower East Side before heading out west for a three-night stint with rock icon Jonathan Richman. You can download this track and more from musicians playing tonight on our Culture page. Just click on Culture at WNYC.org. You can learn more about all the stories you've heard here, download more podcasts, and go in-depth with our reporters on the news blog. It's all at our website, WNYC.org. You can hear us there 24 hours a day, as well as on the air at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Make it a great Monday. May the bin famine,